You think that?
Well, hello. So, it's session 3 or chapter 3 in the Book of Discipling, and I'm here with Evan Nagiyama. So, and I'm Francis Orhudos, if you've been following, and we have been having this podcast just talking through the Book of Discipling by Mark Dever, and we've had already two great sessions hearing from Pastor Josh, hearing from Hyunsa about discipling, and I think we're really getting into the meat of the work here. I mean, that's the whole chapter today, is talking about the work of discipling, and I'm really grateful to have Evan Nagiyama, Mr. Evan, on board to have this talk. So, Evan, why don't you just introduce yourself to, you know, obviously the church knows you, but anyone that may not know you well, you know, if I'm a new person in the church or if I'm a, you know, visitor, you know, yeah, just introduce yourself to me. And yeah, even, I know you can't get into like full testimony, but just, you know, how the Lord has brought you here and what might be next. And then also if you could talk about, yeah, why is discipling important to you? So that's a chock full right there, man.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, Francis. yeah, so my name's Evan, and just about me, you know, I'm married, we have 3 boys, and I came to the church actually after getting saved in college, so 2009, so it's been quite a while. But yeah, the Lord was just gracious to me. I think just the even the discipleship of evangelism, a good friend was just a good discipler in a lot of ways, and encouraged me to see Christ. And since then, just came to the church, and that's just kind of the rest is history. Like I got discipled by so many people here, informally, formally, as I walked with Christ. And
give me some names, man.
Yeah,
give some shout outs.
Yeah, so I was part of the college group back then. So some of those guys aren't here anymore.
Okay. But they might be, you know, listening, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So, right? I mean, let's see. So when I first came, Randy Chu was a guy who was leading the group. And, yeah, just a college kid. There was probably, like, 5 college students here.
Yeah.
So every Sunday I would show up, and it's like, who am I going to talk to? And yeah. Randy was just a faithful guy. And he would just talk to me, and I was like, what'd you do? And this weekend he would just talk about his life, and
yeah
I just learned a lot, and would go over to his house sometimes and see his family.
And yeah. He's related to someone in the church.
He is.
So Randy Chu,
yeah,
his wife is Tiffany.
Oh, his
Chu.
Wife. Yeah.
Oh yeah, right, right. Yeah, and then yeah. Tiffany Chu is right. Jeremy Yang's sister. So anyway,
yeah. Yeah, so super thankful for him. Just like guys like Jesse, David Pareto. Yeah, just guys who poured into my life or just included me in what they were doing. I remember going evangelizing with Jesse so many times and just like, I had no idea what to say. And just watching him learning over time, like, okay, I think I could say something, you know,
yeah.
Now. And so that was helpful. Ben Liao came in and took over the Bible study at that time, and he had a huge impact on my life, just spending time with him, watching him parent. He would bring his, I think then Josiah was like 2 years old, his son. And so yeah, just seeing like how he did ministry, how he loved people, how he pursued people, and yeah, how him and his wife just loved others and then also just taught the word. And so that was super formative for me. But of course, you know, like discipling all of life, like all of the church, just different guys, just different conversations here and there, watching people, learning, and yeah, being discipled by the preaching over time, teaching, Bible studies, and then of course, you know, just by the Lord in the word, in good books. And so, yeah. Just a product of many different avenues of discipling.
Yeah,
for sure.
So even if we just took that and we just blew that up,
yeah.
And there's like so many things you said just in there. You said like being taught, and you talked about evangelizing with people.
Yeah.
So like teaching is, I mean, that's, I think we can directly connect with discipling, but like there are things about discipling that may or may not be known that we don't necessarily correlate. So like Jesse Ray Quesada, you're evangelizing with him.
Yeah.
That's part of discipling, but sometimes you may not make that connection. You're talking about modeling, following people's examples.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you said in love.
Mm.
So just so many things. I know we're going to blow out here
when
we talk about the work, but just in what you've experienced, there's just already so much that we can take from when we think about discipling. And just one quick anecdote, because you mentioned Randy Chu. Shout out to Randy Chu. But just so we talk about being influenced, right? Yeah. So so Randy, him and I were the same years in college at UCLA. And just talking about how we can influence each other. I remember when I was a new believer at UCLA, super new. I didn't have a lot of Christian friends at all. And in the spring of 1996, I started hanging out with a group of guys in our Bible study. And we had a sleepover. And it was the first time where I knew dudes that like I can really mesh with. We would mess around, but then we actually got in a circle, opened up their Bibles, and they're like, okay, guys, we got to stop messing around as freshmen. We got to be serious next year.
Mm.
And I'm like, man, I thought we were going to talk about girls right now. I thought we were going to play like Catan right now. We're going to open up our Bible. And this is all new to me.
Yeah.
And but I could tell these guys were serious. Like they were they were not down to mess around. And then I remember Randy going around and saying, like, guys, how will you serve Grace Community Church next year?
Mm.
And that was the first time I ever heard of the idea about, like, serving in a church. Like, what's service? You know, like, I'm just going to learn. Yeah. You know, what are you talking about? But he said it with such conviction.
Mm.
It made me think. And then it kind of helped me form different thoughts about what church life is like.
Yeah.
And yeah, Randy, that sticks with me today. So if you're listening, anyone that knows Randy, that definitely had an influence on my life personally. So you know, we never know the things that we say over time. How we think they're kind of throwaways. We don't think like I was not in like a formal setting, so to speak. But he said one thing, and it's kind of still having rippling effects. Today.
And it's cool because it's like it's not just so random. Like there was an intentional reason probably that he was saying that.
Yeah.
And that, had an effect on you to love the Lord more and serve him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's cool. And that's all kind of what we're talking about today. So, so today's chapter is the work of discipling and just going through it here. So one of the first things that Deborah does right away is talk about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom is built by discipling.
Mm-hmm.
We think about kingdom building, and we watch the movies, and it could be like we think of kingdom building by like dominating another country and like battling and like there are great kings and fortunes and things like that. But when I think about discipling, it doesn't necessarily mesh.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of that? Like how Deborah brought that out, how the kingdom of God is totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, he says discipling does not seem like the most obvious way to establish and strengthen a kingdom. But then he says, but Jesus concluded his time on earth commanding his disciples to make disciples. I think that's always struck me as I've thought about this and studied this. Just, you get to the end of the New Testament in the beginning of Acts, and it's almost like an expectation because Jesus rises and you're like, okay, what's next? Like what's the plan for his like kingdom? And then he leaves, like he ascends, and then he's like, he leaves it with the disciples. And you're like, is this really the plan?
Now there's like horses and chariots coming through, like big fat swords and fire. Because even the disciples
are like, when is the kingdom coming? And he's like, it's not for you to know. It's not the time. He gives a great commission to go and make disciples. And this is his plan. Like, this is the way that God has ordained for the kingdom to go forth in this time is through the church and through discipling. And so, yeah, I think that's been huge. And just like, okay, like this is what God has called us to. This is his plan. And so we need to obey, and we need to, disciple and be discipled. And I think also like at the end of the book, he kind of bookends it, I guess. Like, because at the end of the book, he talks about how it's really like every person has been made to be a disciple. And he starts with like, you know, how Adam and Eve, they didn't come to this world knowing what to do. Like God instructed them. He discipled them in a sense. And so that's just our calling for all of us, is to be learning from the Lord, learning from others, and then influencing and loving others to follow the Lord. So
yeah,
it's just the mandate we have.
Yeah,
whether we believe it or not, like we are, that's what we're called to.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is his plan.
Yeah,
for building up the kingdom. And I just wanted to read the quote, because from Matthew 13, 31, 32, that's what's quoted here. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. So, when I read that verse, oftentimes there's much to be said about the mustard seed, but and what it'll become. But just framing it how it is, that is the kingdom of heaven, and just describing that the kingdom of heaven is so different than what we would think about, but and that's what we're talking about. The kingdom of heaven is going to grow not through something that's spectacular, but through small faithful acts of ordinary people, like regular Joes, like me and you, maybe like me, not you, because you're like you're like a real Joe, you know, regular ordinary people following Jesus, you know, and just longing for heaven, and not expecting like just crazy, you know, spectacular, you know, results, but just, you know, ordinary means, mundane. So that's, again, for you, church, for every believer that's hearing this, it's just like, that means for you too, like where you're at and any station of life, whatever you're experiencing, you get to participate in building out the kingdom of God, man. Just even to like, just to even think about that, like, wow, like that, it's not just for like elite, like SEAL Team 6 people, but just regular people. That's pretty exciting. So that's why we're jazzed. That's why we're talking about discipling, because we're so privileged, you know?
And I think to add to that, like, this is actually God's plan to use what is weak, right? To shame the wise, right? And to show that the boast is in God alone. And so, yeah, we are normal. And I think when we look back at who we were and who we are now, like all we can do is say like praise God, and then God continues to use those weak people, humble people, to continue to influence and love others, and his glory just continues to be magnified as he continues to save and sanctify through us. Like we're just normal people. So
and I think, I don't know if we want to just keep pounding on that theme, we will, because that is so not the way the rest of the world works with anything, right? Like, in order to do something, you talked about LeBron James on Sunday. So in any, to have any renown in this world, right? Like, you got to be LeBron James of basketball, you know, I mean, or Kobe, maybe. Yeah, but, you know, you got to be great.
Right.
And, but, like, being great in the kingdom is being humble and being weak.
Yeah.
And that means that, there's a place for every believer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, church, we love you so much. We just want to make that resound so loudly that God is calling every believer to disciple, to do this work. So what is this work? That's the subject of this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off with just this model of teaching, correcting, modeling, loving, having humility. The first here is talking about initiating. Initiating relationships. And so what is that, Evan? Like, explain what Dever's talking about.
Yeah, I think he says, you know, it's initiating, it's not being passive. I like how he kind of helps us. He says that can feel awkward. And I think it's just like you only have so much time. You only have so many people in your life that are available. And so just helping us see, like, we want to use our time well, we want to be intentional. And so we need to just, yeah, in the Lord's will, just try to choose someone and go for it. Like, look at the guys around you, look at the people around you and say, like, hey, this is one person that I want to pursue. This is one person that I think I can get in their life, whether that's super formal or informal living life, but I want to influence this person to know Christ more. Yeah, so just helping us think, like, and I think we think about that in a lot of ways, like in a lot of things in work, in school. It's like, if you want to get something done, you have to be intentional.
Yeah,
like you have to set out a plan, you have to try to achieve it. It might not work out, but like, that's, you're gonna give it your best shot. And so I think in discipleship, it's a similar thing. Like, I'm gonna plan out maybe some of the things I'm gonna talk to about this guy. I see this in his life, I want to encourage him, I want to help him, and I'm just gonna go for it. Like, let's grab coffee, or, you know, let's get together.
Yeah. So it does. Yeah. So there is a, you know, this, sometimes we overthink it, you know, when it comes to making a plan, taking initiative, but it is simple as just having some forethought and then going for it, you know? And then really, I think I like how it's framed, being intentional. 'Cause it's just like, if this is something that you desire and you feel is important, you're going to do it, you know? Yeah, for sure. And I think we don't have to belabor the point here, but like, there's so many things in life that we think are important, and we will. I mean, there's, I don't know one person that's not serious about something.
Yeah.
It's just that, what are they serious about?
Right.
And, you know, here we're talking about being kingdom builders, you know? Yeah. So I mean, it's like,
the mission of God.
So it's like, how can you get any bigger than that? You know, like, I know that, again, basketball is, it's cool that we want to be good at basketball. People will put in the work to be good at basketball, for sure.
Yeah.
But just like, man, how that is so tiny compared to, you know, being a part of, you know, the work of the gospel here. There's some thoughts about initiating. He mentioned, just being discerning.
Mm-hmm.
So, just the idea about finding people that are teachable. Mm-hmm. So, which is true, right? Because, and that's just a thought that, obviously people that will not be interested, I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be hard, you know, to pour in their life, to put time in their life if they're not going to be, just reciprocating, the attention that's necessary, you know, to be discipled. But I think that's helpful sometimes too, because I know for us, on one end of the spectrum, if we are locked about discipling, and we are locked about trying to find people and going after people that you know, that may not have interests and that are not teachable, then there's something wise about, you know, being able to look elsewhere. And we know in the Proverbs, though, it is about finding instruction and counsel. So we want to be like, so for all of us, we want to be wise, we want to be recipients of instruction, and so just finding those people that are doing that.
So he gives two marks, right? Like, someone who needs help and someone who's willing to kind of receive that help. I don't know, it kind of comes across strong, like, you'll be wasting your time, you don't want to waste your time. I know this is your podcast, but...
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I mean, that's good. Hey, I had a question talking for you.
Yeah, let's go.
I was
go,
thinking about this.
Yes.
It's just like, how would you, you know, because I can imagine someone coming and it's like, there's someone who needs help, right? And they're not totally willing, maybe yet, to receive it. And I don't know, like, isn't that the heart of Christ? Like, to pursue the sheep
that
are lost? And so, how would you help someone who's like, hey, there's someone in my life, I really love them.
Yeah.
We have a good friendship. They need help, you know,
but
I'm not sure if they're ready yet to receive it. How would you
counsel them? So I'm going to,
or maybe they don't recognize they need help. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I know you have the answer.
No.
Well, I think the first thing is definitely it takes a lot of wisdom, and I don't have a super concrete answer, but other than like first, you know, we want to be wise. And being wise in something like this is, James, and just seeking out wisdom from the Lord and praying and just asking God for the wisdom to do that. Because it's It's like not super clear all the time.
Right.
But, yeah, I think, and that there's, and I know many of you on, you know, who's listening, I know you guys, you know, many of you have super big hearts, and it's like that one sheep, and there's 99. So yeah, like we want to go after that one sheep. There's so many people around us that are lost that definitely need help.
Right.
We all need help, really, but like there's some people that really need help. We want to go after them. And it's, I would say it's such a case by case basis, you know, and different circumstances and, you know, in different situations, it's going to be different. And there will be times that we'll keep going, keep pursuing. And then there will be a time where we realize, you know, this is not profitable. That there is really no, there's no ray of light. Like there's nothing coming through from this person that indicates that they want to listen and learn from the word. And there could be some other motivation, but it may not be that.
Yeah.
And we may need to cap it.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that over some time you've experienced this.
Yeah, you decided that.
I don't know if something comes to mind where you did come to that decision. It's like, okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to put a pause on that.
Yeah, I think there can be practical sides, because even he makes that note, like, do your schedules overlap? And so sometimes it's just like, yeah, just practically, like, someone gets busy, you know, I enter into a busy period of life. And so those things, it just has to end or be put off. And then, yeah, like you said, spiritually, I think if they're an unbeliever, sometimes, I've had that where it's like, I studied the Book of Mark with a guy, walked through, just really the core tenets of the gospel. And a big thing for him was like, he just wouldn't he agreed with a lot of stuff. He was encouraged. It seemed like the Lord was moving in different ways, giving him hope, but then he just wouldn't make it a priority to pursue the local church and be a part of a church. And so over time, it was just hard. Like, do I keep pursuing this guy?
Yeah.
And I kind of left it with like, hey, I'd love to continue meeting with you, discipling you, but this is God's plan, like being part of the church. And so I can't, it's just not like, this can't be just a separate thing.
Right.
And so, I just left it kind of there. But yeah, there's hard relationships, you know, even within the church, it can be just different reasons.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It does take a lot of wisdom.
We need God's help. So, and that's where, I mean, you know, in these, you know, God is doing so many trillion things at the same time. And one of those things is even, and us, as we're taking that step and initiating, God is working in us to trust in Him and to exercise wisdom and to look for the Spirit, you know, to give guidance and direction.
Yeah.
So, but the good question, and really the big idea here is that, you know, for most of us, initiating may be the hardest step, but that is part of the process here that's explained, just, you know, to take that step, to be the one to lead and to have forethought and intention and just deliberately use your time to help someone follow Christ. And that's the whole point of discipling, right? Like, that's just the real plain definition, helping others follow Christ. So it's just really you taking the lead to do that. But there's so much more to say. And then, you know, Deborah keeps talked about, you know, where a little bit and outside the church, inside the church. What would you say there as he's talked about kind of where it happens as it relates to the church body?
Yeah, I think just a pretty simple point, just that we disciple in evangelism and sanctification. And so,
and that's what you're doing with Jesse Ray.
Just trying to go out there and preach the gospel. And then some of those guys you meet and they're more interested, like, hey, I want to talk about this more, I'm open. So that becomes an evangelism discipleship relationship. And to me, actually, like, that's where my heart is drawn more easily.
Yeah,
I want to spend time with guys who don't know the Lord at all.
And
for some other people, it's like, they're just better be in the church, discipling guys in the church. But I think that kind of answers the last question too, like, because at some level discipling is not efficient, right? It's not like this thing that we can just nail down and say, like, this is the most intentional and time, best use of my time, because we don't know at some level.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do have to put in, we're putting ourselves at risk in a sense, like we're using our time. It may not come to fruition, but I think ultimately we can rest in knowing and trusting the Lord is the ultimate discipler, and whatever we're doing is valuable in His eyes. And so whether it's evangelism, we don't know if the Lord will use it to save them, or just to be sowing seeds, or discipleship. You know, you don't know if the Lord's going to exactly change that person in the way that you think is best, but we can trust the Lord.
Yeah,
for that.
Yeah, and then you are product of that, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we all are products of that. The reality, of course, but just as you're describing your testimony and how you were brought to Cornerstone, I guess that's where I was going specifically, I mean, someone preached the gospel to you and met with you and you learned from them, and then they brought you into the fold and the church where it's God's design that we learn corporately together, and we hear the word together, and we participate in the ordinances together, and then, you know, all of those things, we received, you know, the ministry of teaching and instruction and oversight, and all of those things happen within the local body. So that's why the local body is so important, because that's really where, you know, the work of transforming and becoming like Christ. I mean, that's the whole idea, right? Becoming like Christ, following Christ, where that takes place, you know? So just, we want to be around people that don't know the gospel. So we want to be in a place where we are evangelizing. And that's such the heart of, you know, and you and our church, to be in those places, so that we can bring them and draw them into the church to participate with all of us. Next, it talks about teaching.
Teaching. Yeah.
So I think that's probably where most of us do make the connection between discipling. So that seems like it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
What did you think about what Deborah had to say here?
Yeah, for sure. I think when we think of even the Great Commission, teach them to obey all that I have commanded. I think maybe most people's minds, my mind used to go to just like preaching as the main thing. And I think that's the primary thing, the huge thing is like preaching and teaching from the church, equipping the saints. But I like how he also fills that out, that there's this ministry of the word that's happening in a lot of ways, right? Like kind of what we've talked about too, like it's happening in Sunday school, an equipping hour we're going to be having.
Yeah.
It's exciting. We're going to be having an equipping hour. It's happening in children's ministry. it's happening as you read good books that are word-centered, explaining the word, applying the word. It happens in just interpersonal conversations. Yeah, it happens in small groups, life groups, T groups. It's happening. We're all learning and being taught in a sense by others. And as much as we rightly teach and as rightly apply the word, then we're all learning from that and growing in Christ. I think simple things like just, and that's just simple things, just conversations you have. I remember a sister shared, I don't remember this when this was, but in church, and she was like, she just mentioned something like, you know, I come to Sundays and I try to think of like one or two people that I want to talk to. I want to encourage. I want to talk to about. And that's like stuck to me, like just a practical way of how I can come and love others. And so I was being informally discipled in a sense by that. So many things, I think, over time. And just like you said, the being in the corporate church, you're just like being influenced by the word over and over and over, and growing from that.
There's another book that some of us are reading called Side by Side, where it talked about just really coming out of, you know, Philippians 1:27, and that verse is, you know, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the gospel. And so just, and that just speaking to the latter of what you were talking about, of, you know, more of the interpersonal, informal times that we are able to teach one another. So there's so much to be said about the formal structures of teaching.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we may draw, maybe, you know, we, rightly, there's a lot of attention towards those things, right? We need to be taught, you know, main service, equipping hour, you know, Bible studies, you know, transformation groups, all those things. But there's also something we forget, that in the informal times, the interpersonal times, just in the, you know, the side conversations, you know, between services or even outside the church, right? Just, you know, walking together, just being together. Those are teaching times too, you know, and that's part of, you know, living out this unity that Paul's talking about in Philippians, of striving side by side, being together, and, you know, thinking through how, yeah, so that's where, and that's where the intentionality comes in too, right? Like, so if we're at our kids' basketball games, it's cool, we can talk about, hey, what are you doing over the weekend? You know, I'm going to grab this taco or whatnot, but that we can think about, how can I help move my brother or sister forward by bringing up something that is a spiritually profitable, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's where we want to, that's the dream for our culture in this church, is that we can do that. And it's, and I, you know, what really struck me was, I think we, there's a launching point. I think when we went to retreat and, you know, Pastor was talking about how, you know, in the Ephesian church, how they lost their love. And he asked the question, you know, how was your affection for Jesus? And I just thought that, like, if we could just even ask that question, you know, and just incorporate that into our regular conversations, just like it, that's just like a real easy jumping off point. Like, we've all heard this word.
Yeah.
We all see the importance of it. And like, that's, you know, he is the cornerstone. He is the source of our being. And just to kind of keep that flame hot and thinking about our enjoyment and our love for him, you know? So I have been discipled by people in this church who have asked me that question, you know, how am I loving the Lord today? How am I enjoying the Lord today? And it just makes me think that, like that didn't happen. Like, asking those questions don't necessarily happen, you know, in service. Like, they happen when we're out getting coffee or if we're waiting to be picked up or something like that, you know? So just recognizing there's so many forms of teaching that take place and really taking advantage of those opportunities that we can influence one another by just, you know, speaking and encouraging truth, or encouraging each other to think spiritually, to be spiritually minded. Next, that talks about correcting. So this is probably the easiest part of discipling, right? This is probably the most comfortable, easiest. No, this is not, actually. This is probably the most hardest thing on the planet to do. And from a really, like, in the, probably in the church, right? Like, in the church life.
Yeah.
Is there anything harder than being in front of a brother or sister and providing corrections? So Evan's the master, I'm sure. But Evan, sure. Maybe just, I know, like you, like, God has humbled us. There are times, this is where we feel our weakness. Where God has exposed us and our inability. But he's shown up in those moments. And for you,
if
you're able to speak to that, where did God show up when you had to do this for other brothers?
Well, I think to start, you know, it's just that what he mentions, part of being a Christian is recognizing that sin deceives us, and we need help. We need other believers to help us see the things we cannot see about ourselves. And so I think just starting there, like, for us to be good at correcting others, we have to be good at receiving criticism. We have to be good at receiving correction. And I think you see that in the Proverbs so clearly. Like, the foolish man is the one who doesn't receive that. It pushes against that. And so, And then I think we just learn that by experience. Like when we don't listen to others and we don't see that, and then we reap the consequences. We're like, okay, like the Lord teaches us. And I think, so we want to be people, first of all, that invite correction into our lives, that hear others, that, and I think that can come simply just by, like, you know, when you do things and you just see like people's reaction, you're like, okay, like, that was probably not the best way, you know, or yeah. You just learn by, like, sometimes people don't even need to say anything, right?
Yeah.
Or I remember early as a Christian, you know, just being on fire for like Reformed theology, Calvinism, just like so zealous, but so dumb. And I just remember sharing with a brother, like, man, I had this conversation with this guy, and then we just started talking about this Reformed theology. And he's like, oh, like, what, why did you like jump there immediately?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. Like, and then I just start thinking, like, what? Why did I go there? Like,
yeah.
Why didn't I talk about the gospel? Why didn't I talk about the glory of God? And so it's just like being discipled slowly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always need to be said. So I think that's just where, like, if we are quick to listen and invite that correction at any level, then we'll learn more and more.
Yeah.
By humility. But then, yeah, how do we do that in love? I think it is so hard to correct, and depending on who we are and our just natural tendency, for us, some of us is even harder to do,
yeah,
just naturally. And so I think for me, and some of us, it's like, yeah, it's just hard to know, like, is this the most love? Is this really the most loving thing? And so I think it has to come from a firm conviction that, yeah, like, this is the way of God. Matthew 18 is part of the way of God. To purify, mm-hmm, his church, to help the church. And then also just being convinced, like, this is what God does to us. He disciplines us as children because he loves us as a father. And then Hebrews 3, like, we are called to take care lest there be an unbelieving heart in us, leading us to fall away from God. So we're called to exhort one another every day, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so that's like, I need to love my brother more than I love myself. I need, mm-hmm, to love my brother more than I love my comfort, because they are, yeah, headed towards sin, walking in sin, and so I want to love someone and correct them. and that's just part of, yeah. So being convicted by that, I think, leads to the courage and the love of God to go forth and, mm-hmm, and to correct someone. I have this note. So this is actually... I can't say his name, but our friends.
The book?
Book. Okay. Yeah, he gave this away. So I love this note. He says, keeping friends is not the ultimate goal. And yeah, man, like, we have to, and Dever says here, you have to fear God more than man by being willing to correct others when necessary and risk their rejection of you for it. So yeah, just putting aside our pride, putting aside our own selfish,
yeah,
desire to stay safe and maintain that friendship, but like in love. Treat them as a brother rather than,
yeah,
a worldly friend. Yeah,
and that's so key. You explaining just the context, right? So that it is in love, and the reality. I know that it's hard for a lot of us to correct, but you know, for us as parents,
yeah,
we're doing it all the time.
Yeah,
and we're. For sure. I mean, it comes more naturally.
Yeah,
but and we do that because we do love our kids.
Yeah,
and we do want the best for them,
mm,
and sometimes. Yeah, we don't think of one another that way, that, you know, like, because,
yeah,
you know, there's a certain hierarchy, right? And, mm, like, that's our job, so, mm, to speak. But when we see that we, you know, the place for correction is coming from a place of love and care, and when we look around and we see our brothers and sisters, and seeing, you know, people that do need correction, they do need wisdom. As you're describing, yeah, just, I love this guy so much. Mm. I love the Lord so much. And articulating that to them. And I know that I've had to change the way that I speak, even, even within my own family, you know, about, you know, when we talk about correction and giving instruction in this way, that emphasizing it is out of love for the Lord and out of love for them,
mm,
so that they can follow the Lord. So, and that's why, yeah, I mean, in this section here, like, you know, the emphasis is on correcting. So, and rightly said, you know, we can facilitate that by being in a place of ourselves receiving correction. So creating an environment where correction can be done. But that is, yeah, we that is something that is unnatural for a lot of us.
Yeah.
But just, I like the way that you elaborated here on what Deborah was talking about. Yeah. Just recognizing that it is really you know, God's love that compels us. And acknowledging the different ways in Matthew 18 that, you know, God has determined, you know, to provide that correction where needed.
And like all discipling is, like you were saying, like discipling is so against the world's ways. And I feel like this one is very much so. Like being willing to receive correction and then giving correction is so against our culture. And so we really need to fight to, I think, believe both of those.
Yeah.
And do both of those things. Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's so good. The next part talks about modeling. So I know we've kind of touched on that a little bit. And I can say, you know, church, I mean, that's why I love Cornerstone. That's why I love you guys. That's why we constantly say how much we love you. And I think it's part of me being discipled by many of you, watching your lives, watching the way that you serve, watching the way that you care. And for many of you, you have no idea. You have no idea that we've seen you, that we've observed you, and how you've enlarged our hearts, you know, for Jesus. And in a lot of ways, we want to be like, I want to be like you. I want to be like how you serve, how you use your time, how you think through things, and how you care for your wives and your husbands and your kids, how you handle conflict, how you pray. And so, yeah, church, just keep going and discipling me. But yeah, Evan, what was your thoughts about this part here?
I think this was probably underlooked by me, like when I was younger, and I remember learning about discipling, I think from a sermon or a teaching, and I was like, I need a guy who can just tell me everything to do. And so I was like, you know, the teaching, like overemphasizing the teaching, like just, so I remember going to a guy and just like, hey, would you be my discipler? Would you teach me, tell me everything? Basically, yeah, just tell me what to do with my life, you know, tell me what to do every day. And I thought that was what the epitome of like discipling was. And so he, over time, invited me into his life. And I think he taught a lot of things, but a lot of it was just modeling. Like, got to see how, he loved his kids, shepherded his kids, disciplined his kids, even inviting me into like, how do we teach them the Bible at night, put them down, and just learn. I think you just take it for granted how much we learn from one another. I think I can say this, my brother, he went to, or maybe I shouldn't say that.
You're a friend.
friend.
Adam Smith.
He went to, so this is a guy who did like secular counseling, but he went to group therapy.
Okay.
He's like, you know, he's just learning from other people sharing their weaknesses, how they deal with it. And then we were talking about this, and he's like, this is kind of what you do at church, right? In like small group. And I was like, not exactly, but also yes, like in some ways, like we're learning from each other. Like I wouldn't know, as we walk along, like I wouldn't know how like a mature Christian would handle this situation or think about this, or how I should be thinking about doing my devotional time or praying to the Lord. Like I learned so much by doing life with others. And there's been guys, like the elders have been just sitting in with elders, hearing your guys' lives, hearing like your passion, even for discipleship, and seeing you pursuing guys like that. That all is like modeling to me, like what I want to be as a parent, as a father, as an elder, like that's all modeling to me. So just you guys in my life, just a shout out, like Josh Mack, even more current guys, right? Josh Mack has been such an influence in me modeling. just love for others, love for his family, teaching and preaching. Josh Feaster doing a lot of ministry with him, Isaiah doing ministry with him, and even like counseling a guy with Josh Feaster was so helpful. Like seeing, like, we might take things at a different angle at times, but it's like the heart is there, and I can learn so much from that.
So
just walking with people in the church, and like I said, like just different influences from different guys, you know, just spending time with them, we just learn so much, right?
Yeah.
And I think Paul says, like, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And
right.
And so, yeah, I think as we all are following Christ, like, we all have the ability to influence others and be models. And whether we know it or not, like, whether we think it or not, like, we are making an influence upon others.
Yeah.
We are, actually causing others to rejoice in Christ more because of the influence he's having on us. So.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's what we're, you know, a theme that is just running through these conversations is that we are so easily influenced, and even if we're not actively looking for it, you just, like by watching passively, by seeing how people do things, we can be influenced, and we want to be positive influences, right? We want to be, that's edification, right? That's how we build one another up. By just not verbally teaching, obviously that's so important, but that, and I know Hyun made it a point in the last session, just how the importance of modeling does take place. And it's worth just even talking about too, in our culture, if we can just press on something a little bit, how we are so busy and we got so many things going on, so many good things. And, sometimes have so little space for people to be in our lives. And I'm thinking about that a lot, you know, because, God has given us so much, and in terms of resources, time, is one of them. And it's just about how we use time and providing a space where people can be with us. And like you say, observe and follow us, like imitate me as I imitate Christ. And you know, there's so much fun just talking and thinking through stuff, but also just watching. And I've so many of you, I incorporate things that I've seen, how you speak to your kids, how you just, with your hands and with your actions, you've built others up, not just within the church, but outside the church. And I want to be like, that's why I want to be like you guys. I really do. When we say you guys are our heroes, that's what we're talking about. It's because you guys are going and doing things that I would not have thought about doing. And I can see how that is God's gift to you to do. And it encourages me to want to follow your example. And so just giving space for each other that people can see that and allow, them to follow you in that way. So,
yeah,
thanks, Evan. So we're going to keep going here. There's a few more sections here. I know we're kind of at the hour mark, we're at the 50. We have 10 minutes here. So a couple things, and I'll let you decide, you know, what you want to jump off on, but there's a few things here. Mutual love, humility. What else here? Yeah, I think those are the main things that are left here that we haven't really talked about, but how are we, how would you expand on some of these ideas?
I don't know. Those are both good points. I think to roll it from modeling into humility, because he kind of labors the point of like this example, how, you know, someone would just invite someone into their house and then they would show they didn't think that their weakness was helpful. And I think that's kind of fighting against our culture too, that we need to be like gurus, or we need to be someone who has it all together, and just like fighting against that. Like, we are weak people, and he had said that before, like, don't be afraid to show your weakness, and you can disciple people also just showing them how do you deal with your weakness, How do you deal with, you know, your temptations and sin? How do you run to the Lord in those things and fight to overcome them? And just like, how do you invite them into your life? Like, I think that was personally, in terms of like modeling too, just seeing a family, because when you spend more time with someone, you just get to know them. You're like, okay, like you don't have it all together. Like, you have things, your kids have things, but how do you respond to those things? And I think you learn so much, like, just seeing the weakness, but then also the strength of Christ working in them to overcome those things, to trust in the Lord when you're anxious or when you're stressed, to disciple your kids when they're acting out, you know, and when they're probably stressed because they have people over so I think that's all part of just us being Christians in this life and being able to be real and helping others by running to Christ in the midst of real situations.
That's so important, and I think that's one of the loudest things you want to say from all of these sessions, and we're gonna keep bringing it up, is just that we want to boast in our weakness. We want to be humbled, and because we're not the hero, as Josh often says, right? We're not the ones that are getting the glory. And so I remember thinking very early on, in order to be a leader in any way in this context, and be in a disciple relationship, like I have to be the guru. I got to know things.
Yeah.
I got to know what to say. I don't, you know, it's awkward for me to direct conversations and things like that. So more, you know, kind of cringed and like stepped back from those opportunities, but just thinking. And I would hear people talk about, you know, these discipling relationships, like this guy is, you know, so much wiser than this next guy. So like, that's perfect, you know?
Yeah.
And that's true, right? Like,
yeah.
But it's just, we just got to know just a little bit more, or not even just, and even just be in the same season of life, or just be in the same stage. Cause it's, the emphasis is really on us being dependent on the Lord and trusting the Lord together. And that's where this description of this person, where they definitely didn't have it together, they definitely weren't the guru, they didn't know all things, they didn't know how to say things, you know, they may be, you know, like me, kind of stumbling through stuff, you know, in a very disorganized way, just like talking and rambling. But the idea is that really we are being dependent on the Lord together. We're running to the Lord together. We are praying to the Lord together, and that's how, you know, we help people follow Christ, is that in our weakness, in our inadequacy, in everything that we're not, we're going to the person that has everything, and we have the Spirit of God, you know, to help us be directed, you know, to Christ and to be shown His Word. And from that, like, that's super powerful, you know? So that's why we've said, you know, in the church, for every believer, discipling is so essential, that it is for every believer, not just for anyone that's has it together and that knows things. But that if you are a believer and you know the gospel, there are other people that don't know the gospel, that don't have wisdom. And so you, just by knowing the gospel itself, you can disciple someone. And that's where every person, if you are a believer, definitely you want to learn. You want to be a disciple, but to be in other people's lives, we see how critical it is for the church, and how there is a place in the church for every person to disciple.
Yeah, and I think the end of discipling, he kind of talks about in mutual love. Like, it's so neat when you have a discipling relationship and you really can become friends with that person. Like, it's not just like this teacher to student. Like, you really can walk alongside, and as much as you are even maybe teaching or leading someone, you're being so blessed by that too. And so it's a sweet thing when that relationship happens. And then also, like you were saying, like, discipleship doesn't always have to be like top down. It can be like side to side. Like, we're walking together, influencing each other, loving the Lord more and more because we're walking together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why, again, I keep beating this drum, and that's why we're doing this podcast. That's why we're spending so much attention on this, because discipling is the culture that we want to have in our church. And, you know, for us being discipled and for us to be in people's lives, discipling others. And of course, right, it's like, yeah, I don't have to, so we don't want to go the other way and say, okay, Francis told me I don't have to be the guru. I'm not going to learn anything. I'm just going to show up, you know, in my pajamas, and I'm just going to talk what's on my mind.
Yeah.
Of course not, church, right? Of course, yeah. We, right, like we, in order for us to have, you know, we want to be encouraging. We want to edify with wisdom. We want to tell people what we know about Jesus. And so obviously we want to have our cups filled, right? It's out of the overflow of what we're learning, what we're enjoying about Christ, what God is doing in our lives, how we are struggling, you know, with the truth. We want to wrestle with the truth. We want to have things, you know, on our minds from an eternal spiritual perspective to share. And so, yes, of course, like the Sunday school answer is the Bible. Yes, like, yes, to fill yourself with truth, so that as you are being influenced by the truth, that you can influence others. So, but on one hand, the bar is super low, right? But the bar is super high in that you want to be filled with the truth. But thankfully, we have the Spirit, and the Spirit, you know, elevates us to reach that bar, and that, you know, God is there, you know, to help us in our time of need and to fill us with what is true. So, yeah. So, last things as we round out here, Evan. Hopefully, it'll be another round, because I know that there's a number of chapters where you guys can come on twice, but this may not be your last. But if it is, potentially, maybe, you know. Japan might be coming around.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, if this is your last charge to the church about this topic of discipling, yeah, share your heart.
Man. Yeah, I think I'll kind of end with where Dever ends, and this has been on my mind, is he says, we're all disciples, the only question is of whom. He said, are we following other believers toward the heavenly city and helping still more to do the same? And I think, yeah, just having this like eternal mindset of, and I was actually discipled by you, Francis, discipling another guy, because I met up with the guy and he was like, you know, Francis told me, he was just thinking about life and what he's going to prioritize. And he's like, what would the me of like 10,000 years say to me today, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that just puts everything in perspective. Like, what are we living for? Like, what is our priority? And if this is what God has called us to, this is the mission of God, to disciple others, to teach them all that Christ has commanded, is if this is like what really matters in all of life, because eternity with the Lord is what really matters, then like we have to be all about discipling. And yeah, and it's just such an encouragement that this is what we'll be rejoicing in, that not that, I don't know, the Lakers won, or you know, I made a three-pointer, whatever, that anything we did, but like we're gonna be rejoicing that like, man, Francis, you helped me to become more like Christ, and I helped this guy to become more like Christ, and we can rejoice in God's grace to us through us in discipling.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I appreciate that, and you know, I can't take credit for that, because you know, so like he shared that with you. I got that from Mac. Josh, you shared that with me early on. And yeah, that's how discipling works. And Josh is going to say like, well, Francis, I got that from somebody. Yeah. And then, you know, so we're all, you know, learning from each other, standing on other people's shoulders, so to speak, you know, and that's how it works, church. That's how it works. And that's, you know, until the day that we're with the Lord together around the throne, worshiping and praising him. You know, that's the telos. That's the end. We're all just striving towards. So, church, that's where we're gonna end today. So, thank you, Evan, for being on. And next time, we're gonna have Pastor Isaiah. We're gonna be in chapter 4, and we're gonna talk about the objections to discipling. So, that's gonna be a fun topic. But for now, thank you for jumping on, and we'll see you next time.